Lessons from the Lev, Parshas Bamidbar, Habalena Latova. We also have Yom Yerushalayim. And I know this is far away from your mind, but also this is the Parsha of Shavuos, right? So we've got a lot going on. I'm Mirtz Hashem. With Hashem's help, next week we'll do a dedicated Lessons from the Lev on Shavuos. Not on Parshas Naso, because maybe a little bit Naso as well. We're going to fall ahead of all the other nations of the world, as not nations, of countries of the world is what I meant, because we are going to have a Shavuos, and then the next day is just going to be a regular day. So we're going to have a very interesting, we're going to be off for a number of weeks. And then we always have the lessons of the Lev problem. What, you know, what parsha do I do? Okay, that'll be my problem, not yours. So let's start with Bamidbar. Rav Osher Weiss, one, as anybody who knows me well, one of my favorite Rabbeim, who Baruch Hashem, we attend many of his different shurim and listen to his shurim, and we have a wonderful picture in our, my wife bought me. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, especially my mom, and to my wife, who probably doesn't even know it's Mother's Day today, because we don't celebrate Hallmark-based holidays. Is there Mother's Day in Canada, too? Yeah, is it the same day, or is it a different day? Today's Mother's Day in Canada also. You think so? You're in trouble, man. Make the call anyway. Make the call. Just in case. It's not. I thought Mother's Day was last week because all the commercials in America, I was away for a shop. I turned the TV on. Everything was. So I'm like, oh my gosh, Mother's Day. I got to remember. Then I woke up in the morning before I called my mom. I'm like, let me just check because this would be embarrassing. I mean, it wouldn't be embarrassing. I would just say, Happy Mother's Day. I'm going to be like, you're a week early. Okay, fine. So Rav Osher Weiss has a beautiful idea. We learn in this week's parasha about the special tasks that are assigned to the Levium in the Mishkan, and of course, future Beis Hamikdash. Hakrev et ma'ate Levi ve'amdato oto lifnei Aaron haKohen v'sheirato oto v'shamru es mishmarti v'es mishmar kol ha'eda lifnei olam moed la'avod et avodata Mishkan. You know the Levium, of course, had the dubious distinction of being in charge of the Mishkan, serving the Rabbanu Shalom, and safeguarding the Mishkan as well. Right, they were like, if you will, soldiers safeguarding the Mishkan. Rashi's Lashon is quite interesting. Rashi calls them the legions of the kings. What's going on over here? The Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Erechin, the Gemara tells the Levium were divided into two distinct categories, singers and gatekeepers. Rav Bina, who is a Levi, always jokes, and he says, "Hazai will be the gatekeeper," because he says, "I can't have a horrible voice." I go, "I, you know, like if I was a Levi, clearly they would make me a gatekeeper." Last week, when I was in the NCSY Shabbos, so the caterers, we make our own minyan, which surprisingly has a lot of people, other people who are not just caterers, and we make our own minyan. Simcha Leiner was, so it was me against Simcha Leiner. They asked me to daven for the omen, and I said, no, I have no voice. So like, okay, but nobody here can read Hebrew. So can you just do it? Yeah, can you do it? So I did it. It was terrible for that. It was terrible. Simcha Leiner. But the good thing is when I finished, Simcha Leiner just got up and said, L'chul Neranana. That's how long he did Neverstuck. So, okay, fine. In any case. And that's the, they had this job. And each of them had a specific job. It was important to them. Whatever they did. The Chachamim tell us that you either were a gatekeeper or a singer, but if you did the other thing, if you woke up in the morning and go, oh my God, my voice is really, I don't have the voice today. You know what? Today I'm going to be a gatekeeper. You're a Chayav Misa, right? And that's our Rambam. The Rambam says this. The Rambam says in Hilchos, Klei HaMikdash, Levim she'avdu avodes ha'konanim, Kohanim, Oshisie Levi, Bamalecha She'enu Malachto. If a Levi did a Malacha that was not Royulo, Chayav Misa. Can you imagine if you didn't do your task? You woke up in the morning with a sore throat, you still go to sin. You woke up in the morning and you start singing in the shower and you go, you know what? I have a good voice. I want to be a singer today, not a gatekeeper. You Chayav Misa. Right, from our parsha. You're chayav misa. The question is why? What's going on over here? Why is that? So it seems, says Rav Osher Weiss, that these two tafkidim, represent twofold nature of Avodas Hashem. The observance of the Torah, the mitzvahs, are broken up to two levels. The Levim guarded the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, not for fear of attack, but L'chavuru Tefaras. It wasn't as we might have think. They were guarding it not because they were looking and making sure, you know, Hamas and Islamic Jihad didn't attack, and I should have started with this. For many of us here, I think for all of you guys that are sitting here, this was your first siren. Shkoyach, you've been inaugurated. And we were quite surprised. My family was quite surprised. I was barbecuing on Erev Shabbos. We just had the wonderful bris of my new nephew. I'm great at something. I'm finally a great uncle. Great, what am I? Great uncle, yeah. And so I was barbecuing a little later than usual. And Baruch Hashem, my kids were home because all the kids at that hour, 12 o'clock, were walking home. Would have been walking home from school. It's a very scary thing. It's like crazy stories of people went into people's houses. And kids didn't know what to do. We didn't expect this. We always, people in God, you know, the people, right? Beit Shemesh. Nobody knows. Arabs don't know what Beit Shemesh is, right? I've never heard of it before. They made a mistake and they put some rockets here and all of a sudden it went off and I was barbecuing. So my wife started screaming, shut off the fire, shut off the fire. So my kids thought there was a fire in the house. My kids were downstairs playing PlayStation. They didn't hear the siren. Then finally they heard it and they're like, okay, everybody calm down. It was scary. Now over Shabbos, now, you know, we turned on a light in the Ma'amad. My wife put some pretzels there and some water, you know, that's what they say. It was a scary thing. That's not what the Levim were doing. The Levim were protecting Ki'ilu L'chavod, L'havdil Afti Avdolos. But last week was the coronation of the king. Long live the queen. Long live the king, now we say, right? Long live the king, right? What was the new coronation of the king? So they had all this honor ceremony. All those guards that are there, right? The thousands of they're not there to protect really the king that something's going to happen to him. There was L'chavod L'safaris. And that's what the Rambam says. I'll read you the Lashon of the Rambam if you don't mind. The Rambam says, Shmiras ha-mikdash mitzvah saseh. To guard the mikdash was a mitzvah saseh. V'yafal pishein sham pachan mi-oyev v'lo milistim. It wasn't like you think against Hamas and against all the enemies of Klal Yisrael. She'ein shmiras ela kvoid lo. It only showed honor to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Einu doime. This is not, it wasn't the platron that there was actual shmira. This was a different shmira. This was called the shmira of honor. That's what the Rambam says. So, we, in our own day, especially the Rambam, if we're talking about the Rambam famously says, Lo Shevet Levi Bilvat. Now, there is no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, but there is something quite amazing, and that's still the Torah. The Torah HaKadosh, which we'll be celebrating in a week and a half, the renewing of receiving the Torah, which we're really, really supposed to be doing, and one of the reasons why we have Sfiras HaOmer, as Rav Osher Weiss loves to say, there are 48 ways that we acquire the Torah. Mem Ches Shari, right? We was going to say in Pirkei Avos. There are 48 ways, and each day of Sfiras HaOmer, you're supposed to acquire one of those ways. And one of them, by the way, is that you have your own path, that you have your own avoda. And he says, so obviously 48. It's 49. That's what happened. He says, and then the 49th day, and Erev Shavuos was supposed to concentrate on all of them and say, okay, what can I work on this year? He's supposed to accept the Torah. The Sifsei Chaim famously says, every Shavuos, the reason why we stay up is not only to commemorate, you know, the famous, they fell asleep. No, it's for us to say, I want to accept the Torah. And I always say this about Shana Aleph guys. I hope Shana Bet guys as well. Your Torah learning compared to what it was last year is going to be so much higher level. Why? Because last year it was a joke, right? You're fooling around, you know, whatever. It's just cool to stay up so you can tell your parents afterwards. I stayed up all night. Did you learn it? No, I didn't learn anything. This year you really could say, wow, I did something. And that's why it's a positive commandment. We are the Shevet Levi of today. We have to guard Hashem's Torah, faithfully observe his mitzvahs. That's showing honor to the Torah. It's for this reason we are warned many times not to disgrace mitzvahs, not to do mitzvahs. Number one, mitzvahs anoshel and madom, to do mitzvahs that we are not paying attention to. I don't want to say, but we've all had the Friday night situation where we did salach lanu and Friday night davening, and we were so embarrassed. We're like, you know, we're like davening, and we totally forget it's Friday night. Salach lanu, and you're like, no, No, I have an itch over here, right? I just happen to have an itch here. That was me, you know, like as if everybody's watching you, right? That's not doing it in an appropriate way. And the mitzvah itself, right? Guy's half asleep, Nebuch, and he takes out his tefillin, and his tefillin falls on the floor. It's bizarrely. Or a guy puts his tefillin on very, very quickly. He doesn't even realize that the rosh is over here, and the arm is, you know, come full. He's not wearing tefillin. So Rav Asher Weiss says, for example, even the halach of kisui hadam. I don't know if you guys remember. Were you here for our shechita? So during the shechita, when you do the shechita of birds, right? Also of deer, but shechita of birds. So we have to do kisui hadam. So you're not allowed to kick the dirt. It has to be done respectfully. Has to be done with our hands in a respectful way. Gemara and Shabbos says. Right? We have the halachas. Gemara Shabbos tells us that we're not allowed to count the coins in front of the Chanukah light because it's a mitzvah. Right? Right? We're supposed to show respect to what is holy. We're in a mikdash ma'at. My son was just telling me something very, very interesting. He said that in Yeruchim, he said there are three takanas. They're not a very strict yeshiva, but there are three takanos that they have. One is that they always will daven at 6:30 shacharis. I think I forgot one of them. But one of them is that you can only drink water in the base medrash. No, nothing else. Coffee, nothing. You can't do anything, right? So here, what bittel Torah? Just want to chop quickly. You know, these guys, I hate this. I'm just telling you, sorry. The guy that's going to walk in now with a sandwich, you know, with his on pancake day with a big stack of pancakes because he just woke up. And it's a bizarre to the Torah. Sorry, it is. Who are you sitting and eating for? It's my fault that you woke up late? It's my fault that, okay, fine. That's a bizarre. To walk into this base medrash over here and to spend your time on the phone, spend your time joking, it's a mikdash ma'a. It's a bizarre to the Torah. This is a different room than all of the rooms in the world. It's a mikdash ma'a. Why? Because it's a microcosm of the base of mikdash. The holiness is supposed to dwell there. This is the place we have for Golos. Gemara Megillah tells us. What do we have today? We have our shuls, we have our batei midrashos. They have to be treated with the utmost respect. The second aspect of the service of Levim, as we just said, is joy, is singing. An integral part, not that long ago, we're a month and a week away from Pesach, right? So Pesach was a time where the Korban Pesach could only be brought through the singing of Hallel. Must have been the most amazing experience ever. You could take all the famous singers that you know that sing a Hallel. The Shlomo Katzes and Shulam Lemmer, whatever, whoever you love. It was nothing like the songs of the Beis HaMikdash. It shows that joy is such an element. Singing to the Ribbono Shalom with all their hearts, inspiring and entering the Mishkan. Joy is a crucial element. Simcha betu levav mirov kol. In fact, one of the klalos is that we didn't serve Hashem but simcha betu levav. The joy a person experiences when he fulfills a mitzvah shows the love of Hashem. That's the service. Parshas Kisavo, as I said, reminds us that if we don't serve Hashem with great joy, there's no greater dishonor to the Ribbono Shel Olam than doing mitzvahs at a rote. Just doing it, we don't even know what we're doing. Again, two, not what you think it is. Two important aspects. We will stay here. We're learning Torah. I don't care about a siren. Two very important aspects of Torah. Let's just review for again, since we've been disturbed by the siren. One, we have to recognize that there is the mishmeres, there's the guarding of the Torah, doing mitzvahs in the appropriate, proper way, and doing mitzvahs with simcha. Two integral parts. The Rambam notes terrible retribution, that the Torah describes punishment for failing to serve Hashem with joy. The Rambam writes that this pasuk is in fact a reference to the destruction of the Batei Mikdashos, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we didn't have Simcha V'Tuv Levav, because we didn't serve Hashem in the appropriate way. We know the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Shlo Birchu B'Torah B'Tchila. What does that mean? Doesn't mean necessarily that they actually didn't say Berachas Torah, but they didn't feel it. They didn't feel the joy of Torah. The Vaharevna, the sweetness of the Torah. That's what we have to realize. Why is it, says Rav Asher Weiss, that the failure to serve Hashem with joy is so terrible that we deserve this punishment? Doesn't it contradict what our Chachamim tell us, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Shvichas Damim, Gilui Arayos, the three illicit things, illicit relations, Avodah Zarah? The Gemara says in Yuma. So what is it? Yet we know the Gemara in Nedarim tells us that the Gemara was scorched Birchah Batar Tzvi, like I just pointed out. What's going on over here? Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we didn't serve Hashem with joy?
The Rambam or the Rambam?
The Rambam. So far, this is all Rambam. So Rav Asher Weiss famously, I've heard this Dvar Torah from him a gazillion times, because it's so beautiful, and I share this a gazillion times too, my family knows. And here he writes it in his Parsha Sefer. Every morning when we wake up, it is with great importance that we say Birchas HaTorah. Anybody who doesn't say Birchas HaTorah, that is exactly what we're talking about. It's a tremendous chisaron of both Kavod HaTorah and Simcha HaTorah. So we know we make the bracha, very interesting bracha. V'harevna, right? La'asok, we should be busy with Torah. V'harevna, the Torah should be sweet. Not just to us. It's saying, it's saying, Amcha Beis Yisrael. Please Hashem, let the words be sweet of the Torah, of its Seinu, of our house, offspring, the offspring's offspring, and love the Torah. Rav Asher Weiss explains that it seems to have two distinct requests. Here it doesn't say this, but I'll tell you what he says outside. He said that the Klusenberger Rebbe, way back when the Klusenberger Rebbe lived in by Newark, Union, New Jersey, right, around that area, he went to the Klusenberger Rebbe and he asked him this question when he was a little kid. And he said, we have a general cloud. There are not two requests in the bracha. Seems like the bracha is that the Torah should be sweet and that your children and your children's children should love Torah. We don't have two requests in a bracha. Normally we have one request in a bracha. So he asked him this question. And he said, what do you think the answer is? He says, Rebbe, with all due respect, you're the Rebbe. What answer do you have? He goes, no. I didn't ask for my answer. I asked for your answer. And Rav Asher Weiss answered this and he said the Klusenberger Rebbe loved the answer. So let's discuss. He says the following. These two requests are very much intertwined to each other. Only when the Torah is sweet in our lips and our children see how pleasurable, how meaningful the Torah is, they will be inspired to follow our ways. We can't ask the Rabbeinu Sholem, right? There's famous stories about people who went to the Chazon Ish and other great Gedolim, and they asked for a bracha. Can I have a bracha that my children will be Talmidei Chacham? And the Chazon Ish would look at them and say, what are you? Your children are going to be what you are. Are you running to watch Game 7 of the NBA? Right? Is that what you're doing? There's something wrong with it. But my son got upset when I mentioned that last week. But right? Is that what they see? They say, oh, it's something my father does, but doesn't define him. It doesn't define who he is. It's something he does. It's great. It's wonderful. Sports should be something important. I mean, playing sports probably is more important. But they're going to be inspired through that. We can understand how the failure to have developed joy in the Torah is a indirect result of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. If you don't have joy of Torah, you're abandoning the living waters of Torah. They're broken cisterns. They're meaningless. And that's the famous pasuk, Vishamru b'nei Yisrael z'Shabbos, Allah asoyis z'shadar asoyis z'shambri salam. The term Vishamru is to guard the Shabbos. What does it mean to guard the Shabbos? It doesn't mean that we should guard, should say, no, Shabbos, and throw rocks. No, that's not what it means. And make sure nobody else violates Shabbos. Vishamru is, in a spiritual way, like these Levim in the Pesukim that we're talking about. What does it mean, la asoyis z'shabbos? Vishamru addresses the prohibition of the 30 Yomai Malachos. Told us. What's la'asos? Now we finally get to your Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Yisro says, la'asos of us is the prohibition of the Torah expression, the awe, the fear, the honor of Shabbos. The beauty of Shabbos. A parent can't focus only on saying, no, by a kid that doesn't know any of the third nine malachos, so everything's muksa to him. You can't turn on TV on Shabbos because it's muksa, right? That's what he says, right? I can't turn a light on because it's muksa. Okay, fine. But he can't just see that that's what Shabbos is. Without zmiros of Shabbos, without the delicious food of Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is. What kids listen, I can't explain it to you. It's something special about Shabbos. People who celebrate Shabbos for the first time, I have the schuss, my wife's going this week on a trip, Momentum it's called, where all these women, hundreds of women come, and I do the men's trip, my wife does the women's trip,
and they see Shabbos for the first time, many of them. And some of them actually celebrate Shabbos for the first time. And in that experience, they all leave Shabbos. Almost every time I've heard the story, the greatest thing that ever, this is the first time I didn't have a cell phone for 25 hours. It was awesome. There's something special, the uniqueness of family time, of spending time with Shabbos. That's what we're talking about over here. We are the Levium today. We want Shavuos to mean something to us. We have to treat the Torah in a way that we don't treat mundane things. We have to treat the mitzvahs differently. And if we want our kids to, they're going to see, they're going to say, wow, this is something special to Abba. Where's Abba? Where'd Abba go? He just came home from work. Where'd he go? Oh, Abba has dafiyomi now. Abba has a shir. Abba has a... Nebuch, can you imagine the mom saying, where'd Abba go? Oh, Abba's a poker game tonight. It's Wednesday night. Now, where's Abba Thursday night? Oh, Abba has his poker game tonight with the other guys. What do you expect? And I think that that's the aspect of the Rabbeinu Shalom giving us such an amazing gift. 55 years ago, I think. And that's Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. We're not there yet. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we are in Gullus today without that Beis HaMikdash. And unfortunately, you know, they like to say this all started because of, you know, the Alak. Of course, it didn't. But it's always a central focus that the TV news likes to use and say, well, the Gaza people are trying to kill everyone for no reason because of what you did that time during Ramadan and you stormed the mosque even though they had weapons. Stop it. Stop. Come on. But we started this path of Aschalta de Geula, the path of guarding the Mikdash, the path of saying this is something special. I sat next to on the plane a non-Jewish person who was coming, this very interesting, coming for a few weeks to work on an archaeological dig in Shiloh, as he called it, Shiloh. And I explained to him what the word, I said, I'm going to teach you something very interesting. I live in Ramat Shiloh, no relation. But Shiloh is a gift. Shai is a gift. My new nephew. That's what his name is, right? His name is Shiloh. Is Shai. Shai is a gift. Shai is a gift from Hashem. It's a gift that God gave us. He said, "Ooh, tell me more about the Wailing Wall." I said, "We call it the Western Wall, but Wailing Wall, right? Because that's where our tefillos are." But there's a simcha. How can we not celebrate this amazing day? This Yom Yerushalayim, where the Bnei Shalom gave us the simcha. I'm being honest, I understand it must have been hard to celebrate Yerushalayim. Because we know it's not, now we have this great honor to be able to celebrate, to be able to go to the Kotel. You know, you take it for granted. It's the places we couldn't go. And to see in front of us the divrei of the Nevi'im being Makayim, what joy that must give us. But yes, we have to safeguard Yerushalayim. There's a famous song from a gazillion years ago, Yerushalayim is not for sale, by Mordechai ben David. They want us to sell Yerushalayim, and there have been prime ministers who have spoken about it. Well, we'll give away this, we'll give away that. Yerushalayim is not for sale. We have an obligation to spiritually guard Yerushalayim. We have an obligation to be the ones who show the joy over Yerushalayim. Yes, we're going to have a Rikud de Galim. De Galim is very interesting in itself. Our parsha speaks about de Galim. We all have our own tafkidim. So, bottom line, Shavuos, Yom Yerushalayim, and the parsha revolve around finally your tafkid in life. You have to do both. You have to be the singer, right? Even if you don't like Zmiris like me, and even if you're not a good singer like me, you have to show the joy of Shabbos. But you also have to be a guard. You have to guard the mitzvahs. Protect them, that it shouldn't be a joke. We should be zoicha that all these three things together, although we will next week in Mirtz Hashem still have Shavuos, we should be zoicha that they come together for us with great inspiration, and the Rabbeinu Shalom seeing how much we give hodah to the Rabbeinu Shalom, forgiveness Yerushalayim, be zoicha to see the Bayis Shlishi b'Meheirah v'Yameinu. Amen.